Yeah, just again, I want to bless each one for sharing what they did this morning already, and that prayer. I needed that prayer because I was just sitting there and wondering if how God is going to speak today here through me, this message that I want to share. For some reason, I was yesterday evening, I was just kind of discouraged with what I was trying to come up with, but nevertheless, I want to take courage, and I want to speak, and I want to do my part here. But I want to talk about, which I thought that the opening was a very good start out for this. It was a man with the Spirit of God in him, and a real good story to start out with this. So what I want to talk about is the Spirit of God, or how do I recognize the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in my life? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives or in my life? And also you could say, you could ask the question, Is there evidence in my life from the Holy Spirit? That's a question that I ask myself sometimes. Do I have any evidence that the Holy Spirit is in my life? And I think it's a very valid question, you know, that we can ask ourselves. Do I see any evidence in my life of the Holy Spirit working in my life? And I think for most of us, I think we recognize that. We recognize it if God is working in our life. There's usually some indication or some things that we see that we can say, yeah, I believe God is working in my life. And so just bear with me as I try to bring this message here, and there's many things I'm going to miss, many things that could be said that I won't say, and some things you might think, what is he talking about? But if you don't understand it, just put it aside and think of something else. So I'm going to turn to Galatians 5. And read verse 22 and 23. Just to get us started there. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Which some time ago I had a message on the fruit of the Spirit. And this is going to be, a lot of these wording and things are probably going to come back again. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you have all those things in your life, it says that there is no law against those things. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life, in our lives? Various expressions of God's love, grace, and power, including a transformed life, a deeper understanding of God's word, and the ability to discern God's will. I believe that if we have the Spirit of God in our life, and I'm not saying that there's anybody here that don't. I'm just, we can ask us, ourselves, this question. Is the Spirit of God in my life? And I think if it is, I think God will, we will recognize that because we don't just go after our own fleshly desires. We don't just go and do everything that the flesh would want to do. The Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, new spiritual life, and a new nature. This transformation is evident in a believer's thoughts, desires, actions. As they increasingly reflect the character of Christ, the Spirit helps believers resist sin and empowers them to live a life pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit guides believers in their understanding of Scriptures and reveals God's will. The Holy Spirit also provides guidance in making decisions and navigating life's challenges. Have you ever gone through any challenges in your life and wondered where God was at? Or maybe you're one of those that don't face any challenges. But there's many, many challenges that I have to face. And without God helping me through those, I wouldn't have came through the way I did. But I just want to thank God again for His mercy and His grace. I want to thank God for being there in my life and helping me through this life here on earth. There's nobody here that don't need God to help him through what they face here on this earth. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to be bold witnesses for Christ and to share their faith with others. Believers can experience a deep sense of assurance about their relationship with God and a desire to share that with the world. The Spirit of God will give you a boldness to share with others, to the world. And that is really what we're here for, is to share the gospel with others, is to share, you know, what we went through, is to share what we are experiencing. And bring people to Christ. I had an experience with a man this week. I sold him a storage shed that I had still sitting there on the lot. So I delivered it to him. And I found out that this storage shed was going on somebody else's property. I didn't even ask him, was there relatives or was it just a friend? But somebody up the road from where he used to live, and he's gonna move into this storage shed, this storage building. Although it's not insulated or nothing, he's planning on insulating it and fixing it for a little room where he can sleep. And he said right now, this time, he's sleeping in his van. He got chased out of the house, and he can't go back on his property. His wife decided it's time for him to leave, and he left there, and that's what he wanted that mini barn for, is to just to have something where he can sleep in. And I don't know the whole situation, but he is in desperate need there. He's planning on just kind of letting his wife do whatever she wants to do, and he seems to have some sense of a good spirit in him about all this. It's not, you know, it's not what he wanted to see, but he said he thinks God is trying to show him something. So if you think about it, pray for this man. His name is, I can't think of his name right now. I had it here a little bit ago, but I can't think of it now. Anyhow, he needs your prayers, and I invited him to come here to church sometime, and maybe one day he'll show up here. I don't know. But there's a great need there in that situation. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Bible. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you will be empowered by Him to glorify Christ in and through your life. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind? Some people think of speaking in tongues. This speaking in tongues is a gift of the Spirit, they think, and they really put their focus on speaking in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues, but maybe not the way that some people do. We had a, back when I was a little boy, probably 8 or 10 years old, my oldest sister got married. We invited one of our neighbors there to the wedding. Of course, he could only speak English. But he came to the wedding, and everything that was said in the messages and everything there was in German. So, of course, he couldn't understand. But he was so faithful in sitting there listening and or sitting there all day. And then until he was there until after lunch, and then my dad asked him, "Well, what do you think about it?" And he said something like this. He said, I didn't get anything out of it, but I'm sure that you all were edified and you all enjoyed it, but I didn't get anything out of it." And so that was my thought on that, is we're speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. We didn't have nobody there to interpret what we were saying, and here he was sitting there so faithfully all day listening and not understanding a word we said. So I just bring that out just to tell you that that's what I believe about speaking in tongues. And there might be more to it than that, but some of the things that I don't know, I don't have to know. I don't think so, and just leave it at that. Another thing that some people might think about the Holy Spirit is that I have listened to some messages that somebody had given to me on CD, and throughout the whole message, you know, there was somebody in the background about all the times saying hallelujah, amen, and just about all the time they were saying that. And I was thinking to myself, why are they doing that? But all I could figure out was I guess they wanted to know that the Holy Spirit was working in his life or something, you know. But there was even times throughout the message that it didn't make any sense when he was saying amen, hallelujah. So maybe that's another way that some people think it's the Holy Spirit in their life. And it can be. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against people saying hallelujah, amen. I think that's good. And that's necessary. I think if God lays it on your heart to say so, I want you to do so. But just be real about it, and then it can be a blessing, you know. If something is said or something that you agree or you're edified by, just feel free to do so. There's nothing wrong with saying hallelujah or amen. What if somebody is speaking in tongues or doing miraculous deeds, or is driving out demons and giving some secret information about your past events, which only you know? Can we say with a certainty that this person truly has the Holy Spirit? I don't think we can say with certainty that these miracles and deeds are the work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we know from experience and from scriptures that the demonic spirits have some power. Satan and unclean spirits are also capable of entering a person's body and starting controlling one's speech and language and performing miraculous deeds. It is possible to have all these seemingly miraculous gifts but not having the actual Holy Spirit in your life. And if you want to, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, 14, and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we can see that Satan can do, you know, just about every time, you know, or maybe I'm saying this wrong, but God does things and then Satan comes and do basically the same things just to make you think that it's from God. You have to think of, you know, Moses when he was doing these miracles, these things, and Pharaoh. His men came and did the same things just to show, you know, that, well, they can do it too. But some of the things that are done are not done in the right way or are not done in the Spirit of God. And also in 1 John 4, verse 1, says, "But beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." So we can see that we are not to believe just all the spirits. There was years ago when I got converted and things weren't going so well there in the setting that we were in. The Amish sitting there, people find out about it. People that left the Amish, they find out about those things, and what do? Well, they come to visit you. They come because they hear that things are going on, and they want to come and see what's going on, and they want to come. Some of them want to come to help you, and others want to come to try to take you down another road. And we had plenty of those things. We had plenty of those people coming, and I know that some were wanting to help, and some were just not, didn't have the right spirit. I could sense that, and so especially this one person came. I barely knew who he was. I knew just by name who he was, but I never had talked with him before that I can remember. And he came and he wanted me to jump in the truck with him, so I did. And he talked to me for I don't know how long, probably an hour or so. He was trying to convince me about things that we don't have to do and things, those things are not. And one of those things was the head coverings. You know, he's like, that's nothing that you have to do, really. It's just, you know, they did it back then, and I don't know, I forget what all his story was about, but the funny thing about that is we had just a week or a day or a couple of days before that, me and my wife had talked about that, and it was so clear to us in the Bible that the head covering should stay, the head covering should be worn, and he was here, he was trying to tell me that it's not necessary, and I just kind of let those things fly over my head, and I didn't pay much attention to him. So he left, and I think that was the last time I had talked with him. The last time I talked with him. Actually, it was not the last time I talked with him. A couple years later, just telling this little story about him. A couple years later, we were Wednesday evenings. We were going to the church there at Baysville, but we went early enough to where we could stop at Walmart and get a few things yet. So we went there to Walmart, and I dropped my wife off to go to Walmart and get what she needs, and then I wanted to go over to the gas station there and fill up with gas. And I pulled up to a stop sign, or I thought I did. Pull up there, I stopped. And it took off again, and before I knew it, I was right in the side of somebody's car. A little black little car. I guess my mirror, I couldn't see that little car coming. So I got out of the van, and just about as I got out of the van, I think I know who that is. And anyhow, the woman of that car, the woman was driving, and she came out, and she started screaming and being real loud. And all of a sudden, I noticed her husband was trying to push her down a little bit, because I knew who he was, but I didn't know who she was. So anyhow, that was that same man then. And things went on anyway. He tried to. Everything ended up to where the police said it was her fault and all that. But later, things went on a little bit, and I guess there ain't no use in really say how things ended up. But he tried to convince me to do different things about the wreck. But I'm like, well, if the law is not telling me to do those things, I won't do them. So anyhow, I'm not sure why I said all that, but that was the kind of guy he was. That was a couple years later, after he had sit there in a truck with him and visit. But there was also some people that came, and they were trying to help us and wanting to help us and do what is right and everything. Satan and his servants can deceive us by appearing attractive, good, and moral. And they know just the right words to speak. Our impressions alone are not an accurate indicator of who is or isn't a true Christian follower of Christ. Let's turn to Acts 17. And read verse 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So what I want to bring out there is that we need to search. If we hear somebody talking, speaking, or teaching, or giving a sermon, we need to take those things and see what the scripture says about those. Especially if it's something we question, we don't need to just take those things and run and think we have it together now. But here, when Paul and Silas were preaching these things there in Berea, there, the people took that and searched the scriptures to see whether those things were true or not. In verse 12 said, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were of Greece, and of men, not a few. So they take those things, and if you're really searching for the truth and want to know what the truth is, and if you're looking for truth, you will take those things, what you hear, and compare it to the Word of God and see whether those things are true or not. That's what they did there in Berea. How do you evaluate sermons and teachings? The people in Berea opened the scriptures for themselves and searched for truth to verify or disprove the message they heard. Always compare what you hear with what the Bible says. A preacher or teacher who gives God's true message will never contradict or explain away anything in God's word. And also in John 5, verse 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They are they which testify of me. Those people that search the scripture and have eternal life, they will testify of God. There is a verse in Isaiah 34:16. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm going to turn there and read that a verse or two. Isaiah 34. It's a verse there that when I read over it, it really spoke to me there. Verse 16 is what spoke to me. But in verse 15, or part of verse 14 and 15, it says, talking about the wild beasts and screech owls and the birds. Verse 15 says, "There shall the great owl make her nest and lay, and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate." So it's talking about these God made the animals and the birds and all those things, and by nature, you know, they find their mate and they do whatever God wants them to do, and all those things happen. In verse 16, it says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. What are we to do? We are to take God's word and read it. Seek and read it and do it. And it says, "No one of these shall fail." If we are sincere, if we are truly seeking God and wanting to know what He wants for our life and what our next step will be, if we truly want to know that, He's saying here, we shall take His word, we shall read it, and we will not fail. He will be there to help us. God will take us through that, and He will make sure that if we are sincere in finding out what the truth is and what we want, His Spirit is there to help us, and we will not fail. He will make sure that we will get the desire of our hearts, if that is our heart's desire to follow Him. Romans 8, verse 16. I might read more than just one verse here, but verse 16 is what really stood out to me too. I'm going to read 14 through 16. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that is verse 16, that when I got converted, that was one of my highlights there. That verse right there. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." See, we have evidence there that we are a child of God. And I remember clearly one time, me and my mom were talking about, I was asking her some question about, we say our Father in heaven, how do we know that He's our Father? And bless her heart, she was just doing the best she knows, but the best she knew, she said that, well, we don't really know. We just have to do what is right, what we are told to do. And then when Jesus will return, and if He takes us with Him, then we are His child. And but I didn't know, at that time, I didn't know that we can have that assurance of salvation, that we can know that we are a child of God. But this verse here, when I come across this verse after I was born again, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I was like, yeah, you know, we can know that we are a child of God. I thought we couldn't. But this tells me that we can know by His Spirit speaking to us. And if we are sincere in wanting to do what is right and following after God's will, then He will speak to us through His Spirit, and He will guide us and direct us, and we can know whether we are right with God or not. And I just bless God for that verse there. That was one highlight when I was converted for me. And Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth." So again, this is a verse there that talks about receiving power after that the Holy Ghost is come to repent of our sins and turn to God and follow after righteousness. He will give us all the power we need. But we'll have to make a decision. We'll have to make a decision to say no to those temptations and say we would rather follow after righteousness and holiness so that we can have a part in the book of life, or we need to be willing to follow after God, what God wants for us. If we have any interest in God, then that is what we will do. He will give us the power to do that. There's another verse in Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's that Holy Ghost that God will give to us. If we are wanting to do what is right, God will give us that Holy Ghost, and He will put it in us that we can do, that we can have His power to say no to temptations and those things. John 14. Let's go to John 14 and read a number of verses there. Starting in verse 15, going through 27. It starts out like this: "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He might abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So that was Jesus there speaking to his disciples there. Some time before he left and went to heaven there, he was telling them, you know, what he will do there. The Spirit, he will give us a comforter, and that will be the Holy Spirit that he will give us. And this chapter teaches us that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. He will send the comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with us forever. And we also learned that the world cannot receive him. It's something that the world cannot have. He lives with us and in us. He teaches us. He reproves us of sin. He shows us God's righteousness. He guides us into truth. And there's a verse in John 16 there. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will give us the Holy Spirit to guide us through this world that we live in. And when we need that help, when we need God's help, we can just ask him, and he will have his Spirit in us. If we have his Spirit in us, we can read God's word and see what he wants, where he wants us and what he wants us to do in our life. Yes, there might be times when you need to ask another brother or somebody for advice or something. If you're going through something, you might need to be encouraged by another brother. And that's what we are here for, is to encourage one another and to help one another. But if you truly want to know what God wants for your life, take the Word of God, read it, and apply it to your life. And if you need more help than that, you know, that's what we are here for, is to help one another. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Christians are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled believers will have thankfulness and worshipful music in their hearts towards the Lord. I think we're all familiar with Ephesians 5 there. I'm just going to page to it and read it. Ephesians 5, read a couple verses there. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 21. It says, And being not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Sometimes it might be singing a song, or might be, yeah, just looking into God's Word and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage ourselves in the Word of God. That's a very godly thing to do. A Spirit-filled life will be thankful unto God always. Even if you go through difficulties, you can, in those situations, you can still be thankful for what God has done for you and what God is doing. Just be thankful unto God. Again, in Romans 8, a couple of verses in Romans 8 there that I want to look at. Romans Romans 8, verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So you have the Spirit of God in you, then you will be seeking after the things of the Spirit. But if you have, if you're after the flesh, if you do mind the things of the flesh, you cannot be filled. You cannot have both. You either be one or the other. The Spirit of God. In verse 9 there, in the same chapter, said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So again, there we see that we don't have the Spirit of God. It says we are none of his. But he can be found. He can be found. If you don't have his Spirit, he can be found. In Galatians 5, you can go to Galatians 5 there if you want to. I'm going to read a number of verses there. Galatians 5, 16 to the end. I've already read a couple verses in there, but we're just going to read through them anyway again there. Starting in verse 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatreds, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit there. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So he says there, if ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we say that we have the Spirit in us, then let us also walk in that Spirit, a Spirit-filled life. Every believer should seek to be filled with the Spirit as his or her continuing relationship with God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered to control and controlled by the Spirit, to experience renewal, obedience, boldness to witness, and share the gospel, and freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the power of sin. The Holy Spirit will free us from the power of sin if we are sincere about our life with Christ. And here are a few pointers or a few things you might want to consider there about the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life or your life or however you want to put that. It says, evidence of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. You know, when we are convicted of sin, that's a good thing. You know, that's the Spirit talking to us. He convicts us of sin. If there's sin in our life, he will convict us. And it's what we do with that. Are we going to confess that sin and forsake it, or are we just going to be quiet about it? Or are we just going to keep it Or are we just going to not pay any attention to what the Spirit is trying to tell us there? The Spirit convicts believers of sin, drawing them to repentance and a desire to live righteously. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. That's what God puts him there for us, that we have him in the time of need. And also, evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life can be by love for others. A transformed heart will want to help out others, will love others, have compassion for others, even those who are different or difficult to work with, maybe. You will have a heart that wants to help others, love others. That could be another indication that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. And another one is guidance and leading. Believers experience the Holy Spirit guidance in their daily lives, leading them to make wise decisions and discern God's will. He will also help you make right decisions and discern God's will for your life. And I got a few more here. Just the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is often seen through the fruit of the Spirit. Love, a genuine love for God and others, extended even to those who are difficult to love. Joy is another, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy and peace, a deep abiding joy and peace through the storms of life. If you're rooted in God and have a good relationship with God, you can go through those difficult times and still have that joy and peace in your heart. Long-suffering is another fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, or you can maybe call it patience as well. The ability to endure difficulties and delays with grace and understanding. Gentleness. Acts of generosity, helpfulness, and compassion towards others. Goodness is another fruit of the Spirit. It's a desire to do what is right and good in all situations. I had to think of this man that I was talking to the other day about, you know, his situation there, about his wife, and he didn't bring hardly any bad things up about his wife. He said he was just saying, you know, how things always were, you know, up until now, and then this happened, and he just don't know. He wants to accept it. He just thinks it's God trying to tell him something or show him something. Faith is another fruit of the Spirit. Dependability in relationships and commitment. Dependable. Meekness is another one. It's a tender and a considerate approach in interaction with others. And self-control, the ability to manage one's thoughts, emotions, and actions. If your self-control, which is temperance, I believe would fall into the category of self-control. And God will give you the ability to manage your thoughts, your emotions, and actions. That is the Holy Spirit. If God gives us the Holy Spirit, He gives us that power. He gives us the Spirit to use it in a way like that. And it's really not the power. It's not our power. It's God working in us and through us. If we allow Him to use us and shape us into His image, then we will accept what He has for us and allow Him to use our lives to be a light to the world. And I hope there was something in the message that you were blessed by, that you can identify, or if you feel like you have something more you want to add to that or say something, you can feel free to do so. I think that's, at this time, that's all I have to share, I think. But there comes Dale back, so I'll turn the time back over to Brother Dale.